listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox, and Marshall and I are in here, and we're going to have a really good discussion today. We're going to be all over the world and all over the island, so we're going to be ranging anywhere from arts and education and Hawaiian air to world peace. So we have a couple guests in here. One is Nasiri. And then another is Maoli Cook. So right now, I'd like to say Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with the Copper Man.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Anahola, K284AL, Haleiwa.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com or 639-3456.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
The Kauai North Shore Lions Club annual golf tournament for scholarships, co-sponsored with Aloha Roofing Supply, will be on Saturday, January 9th at the Mackay Golf Course in Princeville. Shotgun start at 8 a.m. Featuring lots of fun events and contests, includes lunch and lucky ticket drawings. Proceeds benefit scholarships for North Shore students. We're featuring a helicopter golf ball drop on the Mackay driving range. For more information at KauaiNorthShoreLions.org and click on Golf Tournament, or call Jerry Moore at 482-4150.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Marshall, how are you doing?
Doing great. Hey, aloha, Felicia.
Aloha. And then I'm going to make sure I've got my friend Nasiri mic'd up okay. Nasiri, let's hear your voice.
Thank you.
He's not quite there. Into the mic. Right into the mic.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So, we've got a lot of topics today, and we're going to be a little bit all over the place. Many good things have been going on. And I want to say that, like, one of my neighbors here, Nasiri, has come in, and I'm excited to have him in here. Thank you, Nasiri, for coming in.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Great. And one of the things that is, for me, particularly a good opportunity in having you in here is your knowledge of world affairs. Very often the show has a dominant focus on what's going on in the island. And, you know, it's a little bit hard sometimes to really be talking about what's going on out in the world because I don't have that direct exposure. We really appreciate that Kauai Community Radio has Democracy Now! They do a very good job of really bringing a lot of the national issues here. But I wonder if you can tell the listener, for those who don't know you, a little bit about yourself. You're American, but you weren't born in America, correct?
Yes. I was born in Iran, and I came here when I was very young, at the age of 21. And I saw this country, I saw the opportunity, this was a great country, the democracy of this country, I loved it. And I came for 10 days vacation, here I'm here about 40 years later.
Yes, and then now you have a home here in Kilauea, so
I love Kauai, and this is the last frontier in the United States. This reminds me 100 years America, 100 years ago in America, and also this is the truly a paradise in this world. I travel all over the world. and different countries, there's no place like Kauai, especially being in the United States and being in this country, having this place. So I love this garden island. I like to see it to kept the way it is without it, much growth. I don't like this place to be like Los Angeles, Florida, and Maui, and what happened with Honolulu. I don't want all the cements and block, and I want to keep it nature the way it is. This is the way my grandfather in by Caspian Sea we lived. It was just like here. It was rivers running into ocean. And this is the truly paradise. There's nothing in here can hurt you. It is a great place to live. And unfortunately, I'm not enough here. I'm only here a couple of months a year.
Well, I see that you're all over the place. You know, I just kind of looked a little bit at, I didn't know that you had this kind of history, but I see that you're in company with everybody from the Pope to the presidents and a number of them, current, past, Nelson Mandela, you know, all over, really. And the reason why I'm bringing that up, and I'm not trying to make you blush or anything like that, I want to ask you, I see that, like, when you grew up in Iran, I'm assuming your background is Muslim, is that correct?
Yes, I was born as a Muslim. And then when I came to America, I went through a transformation, and I went to the mountains. When I came down, they say that you have been transformed. And I met this guru of mine. He says that what we call that in Christianity, that born again, or cosmic consciousness in other languages. So after 2 years, he put me in certain discipline and completely staying clean in life. And then we decided to, says, what religion you like? He made me study Muslim and Christianity, Judaism and Hinduism, Buddhism. I went through all of those and many years of meditation and contemplation. He says, what religion you like? I said, I like Jesus, because he was the only man who died and came back. Nobody else in the history of mankind died and came back. So he says, so you like Christianity? I said, yes. And so we went to, he took me a couple of churches. One place says, you got to go study Christianity. I said, Father, in the old days, the people, they didn't have education. The disciples would touch their head and they would become baptized, and they would baptize them. So Father White, he baptized me, so I became Catholic.
And you know, when I look at some of your stuff, I know that you do music, you have done a lot of different things, business and all of that, but you seem to be somewhat of a peace activist. Is that fair to say?
Yes. I go around the world. I sing with children. I have a big catalog of songs. And my message being, love sees no color, no race, no religion. We are the same as the race from the sun. Only through love can we live as one. That four line of my song explains what's going on in the world. I'm a peace activist. I go all over the world and sing with children. I sang in 15 different languages. I made a peace movie, and then 18 directors directed my peace movie, 18 countries, 15 languages, and cast up thousands of children in different countries. So Hollywood makes a lot of war movies and a lot of violent movies, but nobody ever made a big peace movie in this world. What would they like to, if they have peace? And my message is that we have to reduce our military budgets by 10%. In every country, their military budget is the largest portion of that country's budget. So if we reduce the military budget by 10%, we will wipe out the poverty around the world. As a human, we should be free to travel anywhere in the world. We don't own any of these countries. You don't own Kauai. We don't own one country. There should be no walls and boundaries. People should be free to live anywhere they want. It's not owned by any country, by anybody. So my message has been around the world, to take the walls down and have, people should have freedom, and we should not have war. We should have peace. The reason why we have war in Afghanistan, Pakistan, all those Middle East, it's lack of job, lack of love, lack of anybody hires the little kid who is born. He's hungry. He needs to make money to live. His family needs to make money and to live. So if the boss tells them, you go kill this person, and they do it because they have nothing else to do. They have no job. If you give money for 12 years, Russian beat them Afghanistan for 12 years, we went there in Afghanistan and fought. Instead of doing that, we should have given them a little money and we give them job. When the person has a job and family, and they will not go fight. They will not go killing anybody. I always said a child in Palestine is not born with a gun in his hand. A child in North Korea is not from another species. A child in Iran is not from another planet. So these are the things that I'm talking about. These are the messages I go around and talk about. I've been to Israel and Palestine, North Korea, South Korea. I've been active between Iran and United States. So I'm one man, but I do all of this through music. Music is a force that we have. We have two power, power of praying and power of music. So I use music, and music is a vibration. Through good music, we can change a civilization as a whole.
So when we're looking at what's going on in the Middle East and in Europe, like what's the last time you've been over in Europe or anywhere in that area? Has it been recent or been a while?
It's been a couple of years, but I'm very active. You know, I travel, and I'm very vocal about what I'm talking about, and my songs talk about the same thing. This music can penetrate you much faster than anything else.
Well, there's a Hawaiian word I want to give you. It's mana'o. What is your mana'o? What is your opinion or your viewpoint on what is happening in the Middle East and with the refugees? Like when you left Iran, did you leave because you had to, or did your family leave because you wanted to?
I needed a bigger space. I wanted to, you know, I was always adventurous. So I came to the United States. I saw this beautiful country.
So you weren't forced out of there.
I was not. But what you're talking about, refugees, that's a crime that the whole world sat and watched. One man killed his own people in Syria. All the livelihood is all perished. He destroyed his own country.
You're speaking of Assad?
Syria, yes, Assad. Nobody, the whole world sat and watched one guy do all of these criminal activities, and nobody did anything about it. The whole world sat and watched this thing, and these people, they take a chance, they go in that cold water and the oceans, and they die. It'd be terrible if your children see everybody's bombarding you. Look how many people, how many times they're going to bombard this country. And this one guy is the biggest devil we had, and this guy killed his own people, destroyed his own people.
Well, I mean, as I follow this stuff, though, kind of a joke is it's hard to tell what's happening from food land. You know, you can just see what they're saying in the media. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's accurate, but what they call ISIS, which maybe is a result of the war efforts that we've put over there and kind of created it, but that is a pretty hard force that's going on in that area now, too, and that isn't Assad's people.
Yes. So, for example, for years we talked about Al-Qaeda, and for years we talked about other sects and people that they were doing criminal acts and killing people. Out of desperation, all of these sects came. ISIS was nobody. But ISIS came to power because what happened is he hires the children and the people, they have no job. They're hungry. They have to feed their family. And they have no education. This guy is born in clay houses. They don't have this technology that we are talking about. We make such a big thing out of these people. All you have to do is give them a job instead of killing them, instead of trying to destroy them. There won't be no ISIS. There won't be no Al-Qaeda if you give them money. Those people, if the man has a job and he has a family, the kids go to school, why would he go kill somebody? As a human, we will not do that. If that's forced to do that, they take any job they give them so they can make a living. Rather to destroy them, I always says, it costs us billions of dollars. It costs us over $1 trillion at the time when Bush was in the country, running the country. $1 trillion. I said 10% reduction of 10% of military budget. That's $100 billion. I can revitalize 100 different small, poor countries. There won't be nobody in the street. So poverty is the cause of all of these things here. One has too much, the other guy has none. Wall Street guy makes $1 billion and one day the stock goes up $1 and the CEO gets $50-100 million. In the meantime, at the cost of the poverty of the people, they make $9 an hour in McDonald's or $7 an hour. The gap is too far between rich and poor, especially in the countries like Afghanistan, Pakistan, Middle East, and all those places.
Well, just in glancing at what you have on your website, which is Nassiri.com, is that correct?
Yes, N-A-S-S-I-R-I.
And I see you've been in just one project: Iran, India, Australia, London, Brazil, New York, Egypt, France, Israel, Palestine, South Africa, Italy, Korea, China, Japan, Argentina, Russia, Germany. What strikes you as similar? What strikes you as different? I mean, how, if speaking to people who say never been there, what is your impression of the variation at these places?
Every country has its own charm, and this paradise was put in for us to live and share and love and live with love with each other. It was not put in here for us to fight and be greedy and kill our own species. So I love every country that I visited. Every country's got its beauties and charms, and people are basically the same all over the world. They're all the same. There's no reason for us to fight. And so the poverty is cause of a lot of the problem. All the money that we spend destroying our own people. We have graveyard of big warheads, big airplanes, cost billions of dollars. And instead of doing that, if you give 10% of that money to the poor people, there will not be no ISIS, there will not be no Al-Qaeda, there will not be any of those people. People not born to be killer. The child is not born with the gun in his hand. It's our own cause. Is the money and the poverty what causes them to go do anything. They need a job. Boss tells them to go kill somebody, they go. They don't know the difference. They need a job. So they have to work.
Well, in how many places can you see that as a realistic possibility? Is there anywhere where people who might have a sway over whether or not they take 10% from the military budget is actually hopeful that that could happen?
It should happen. We don't have other alternative. We cannot just going around and you kill ISIS, there'll be another sect coming up. You kill that one, there'll be another one. That out of desperation they do that. As a human, you don't go killing anybody. You know, we're not supposed to be doing that. But you have no other alternative. There's no other alternative for them. Yes, there's this message. I've been talking about this for the last 20 years. And Pope, he said the same thing. He said, we got to do away with poverty. And, you know, this new Pope Francis, I like very much. And he talks the same thing I've been talking for years. So I'm glad somebody else is saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm. You actually have a foundation, the Love Sees No Color Foundation. It's a 501c3. And it looks like you have service projects around the world.
I do most of my things, obviously, I don't know which one, but everything I do is my own money. We don't ask for anybody's help. So I was successful in fashion industry. That's when I decided to go do something on my own. And I was born with music, so that's when I started getting my messages. After I was went through transformation, I started getting these message songs. So I was very successful business in fashion industry, and everybody says this rich guy, he wants to be a singer. So they didn't know that I'm getting this message song. I took 45 days off. They thought I had my midlife crisis. So I started writing these songs. I started getting these message songs, and so that's when I became very serious about it.
And you've been able to create this amazing video of you going around the world and singing and dancing with children in their traditional costumes, and it's just spectacular to see.
It is. It took a lot of creativity. It took us 5 years in planning, and it took about 3 years to do this project. And so it was a miracle the way it happened. It was not easy. You know, every country we had our challenges, issues to shoot that. By the way, this was not shot in video. This was shot, 21 directors directed this Love Sees No Color production, and the same ones, seven directors directed my Happy Birthday song. I wrote a new Happy Birthday song. I don't know if I told you about it or not.
Is it on this disc?
Happy Birthday.
It says Happy Birthday number 4 in here, because I could play it.
Is that video? No, that
it
one.
Says video. Yeah,
here,
sorry.
Here.
For anybody who wants to take a look, it's nasiri.com, N-A-S-S-I-R-I, fantastic site. You can watch that video there.
And so I see, you know, you have really a collection of different pieces here. I see, I think that's, is that Mitch McConnell? Is that who you're with in this, the Senate Majority Leader? No, it's Harry Reid, I think.
Yes, I know Harry Reid over 30 years. I live in Las Vegas and Kauai. So one is man-made fantasy, and the other one is God-made universe, which is Kauai.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it seems like you're spending time with the Obamas and the Clintons and all kinds of people. Do you discuss foreign policy? Do you discuss your vision for peace?
All the time. So.
And that's what you go and you see them for?
Yes. So I'm always talking about how we bring peace to this world, and my message is very simple. Reduce military budget, there will not be poverty, and there's no poverty, there will not be any ISIS, Al-Qaeda, or none of those people be around.
It looked like you were specifically advancing ideas on how to promote the reconciliation culturally between Iran and the United States.
Yes, and Iran is a great country. Probably is going to become one of the largest tourist attraction. The monuments in Iran are fantastic, fabulous. 70% of Iranians are under age of 30. They're highly educated. They're highly...
Okay, stop right there for a second. 70% of the Iranians are under the age of 30. Like, that's true in Iraq, but that's because so many men died in war. Is it the same story for Iran?
No. Yes, there's some people died when very young. Children died when originally the Khomeini came when they had the Iraq and Iran war. But Iranians, this is a new generation. They're highly educated. They're very smart. They're savvy with the internet and everything else. And they were isolated for, you know, several years since 79, I believe it was. And now they want out. They just don't like that old regime. They don't like the you know, the mullah running, you know, the... some of these religion leaders running their country, so they don't want that. They want freedom. They want to be able to travel around the world, and they want to explore the rest of the world, especially America. They love America.
Well, there's been some pretty intensive saber rattling by America towards Iran, and then what made even the Wall Street Journal is it looks like there's been in this NSA, National Security Administration, spying has discovered that Bibi Netanyahu had been actually coercing some of our senators to take hard action against Iran. Have you followed that at all?
I haven't. When I come to Kauai, I don't no news, okay. No television.
Okay.
I want to just relax.
All right.
But,
sorry, because
but
that was...
I can answer you on that. Well, obviously, that you know, Israel been a base for the United States for many years, and then obviously, Israel doesn't want another Middle East country to be part of that. So they do everything for Iran and America not to have peace. So that's why it's very important that we have peace with Iran. And Iran is 70 million people in Iran. So it's very important to make peace with them because that's a great base for the United States.
Yeah, you know, I sit there, I look at all this intensive war that we're having over there and where all these really areas of antiquity are just destroyed. When I look at pictures of Iran, it looks like Iran is a very much a first world country. We don't really want to bomb it back to the Stone Age. I worry about that a little bit, but do you?
Iran is going to be... is going to be friends with the United States. You know, I've been trying this for many years, and it should be because Iran is a great country, and is over 70 million people live there, And we should have peace in this world with every country. We should not fight. And America is a great country, so there's no reason for us to have wars. And all of these problems are comes from poverty. All of these problems comes from politicians. So,
but when you look at the poverty, like when you look at what creates the poverty, you know, this, I'm giving you my opinion, so I'm editorializing here a little bit, but what I see is we have grown into almost having predatory capitalism at a global level. And so places go in and resources are extracted. Things happen that change, and that creates the poverty. The people wouldn't have been impoverished in Central America, for example, if we didn't go in and intrude. Like, if we allowed them to continue their own subsistence living, that wouldn't be as much problem than if we go down and make them farm our bananas and coffee and things like that. Maoli's nodding her head. You can be mic'd up, too, if you would like, Maoli. Just say hi.
Aloha mai.
Aloha.
Hello.
So, yeah, it's we have a lot of policy efforts that are pretty difficult with these things. So are you pulling up your song?
Okay, let's
see
play.
Him looking at his...
You want to play Happy Birthday?
Well, I might as well...
Or you want to play Love Sees No Color?
Well, you tell me.
Let's start with something really happy.
Okay.
And then we go that. So this song I wrote that 3 days before I go to Brazil. And I normally didn't like our happy birthday songs. Kind of happy birthday to you. Nothing happy about it. Every time I heard it, I said, this is not really a happy birthday song. So I said, I'm going to write a big song. I'm going to make that the song should rock you and should stay with you. So I wrote the happy song, and I said, who I'm going to sing it first? So I was in Brazil. I was going to shoot my Love Sees No Color video in front of the statue of Jesus. So I'm going to sing this song, Happy Birthday, Jesus. So then after I did that, and my friend Nelson Mandela's daughter called me, says, your new happy birthday song, my dad wants you to sing for him. So I went to South Africa and sang, changed the lyrics for his name. They call him Madiba in South Africa, father of nation. So I sang it for him, his 88th birthday. Then I came back to the state. I said, okay, I'm going to sing 100 boys' name and 100 girls' name. Now everybody in YouTube sending it to each other. Happy birthday, Susan. Happy birthday, George. Happy birthday, Julie. And so now we're going to play the one that you don't have names. Just happy birthday, have fun.
Okay, so hand me that.
That's the first one on the top.
Okay, and...
happy birthday, have fun.
Okay, and I'm going to have Marshall help me do this because he's got one of these phones. I am... So technically behind the way. I fought one of these 4G cell towers, so I felt like, okay, I got to live it out and not have one of those. Because how can you complain about it and then have one? So I frustrate all my friends with being a little bit behind the times. So you're listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia and Marshall with Kauai Soapbox. I have Nasiri in the house, and same with Maoli Cook. And so she is also... a songwriter and an artisan and an educator. The guy's got a lot of similarities, except one is here very focused on Kauai and one is focused around the world.
I believe it's playing, Felicia. Is your connection working?
Okay. Oh, there we go.
Birthday to you, happy birthday to you, you're the one.
Come on, let's dance. Now we're talking.
Yeah, bravo, bravo. That is so uplifting and joyful.
Yeah, every time I heard that song, I got to write something that is different. So this is the song that, you know, I think that everybody enjoys. And it stays with you. You know, once
yeah.
you hear it, you sleep at night, it's going to sing in your head.
It makes you feel happy.
Right. So that's the way it's supposed to be.
Good job, brother. That's great.
Thank you.
And you write songs and teach songs and have the kids. Tell us a little bit about your songs and where you do it.
Well, you know, songwriting is not my major thing, but I do it when I need to do it or when the spirit moves me. So I do that.
And why don't you tell the listener real quick who you are?
Okay. My name is Mauliola Cook. I love living here on Kauai. I'm so grateful to be able to. I love this radio station. Thank you for everything that you brought to so many of us. I work a lot in education. That is my main thing. And I have two kind of tracks in it. One of them is the creative arts. Arts education, or some people call it arts integrated instruction, and the other one would be Hawaiian studies. So that would involve hula and chant and singing and music making, cultures, stories, history, language, and all of that. Those are the two main tracks that I follow in education. And I love what I do. I'm so grateful to be able to do it. And I was only able to hear bits and pieces of your story, but it resonated so deeply with me that you can find a lot of ways to instill the seeds of peace through the arts, especially with children. Oh, okay. Is that better? Good. Better positioning with my microphone. So, yeah. So that is a lot of what I do, is hoping that what I'm doing in school, because unlike yourself and many other people, and especially like Felicia, I commend everyone who can read the newspaper and follow all the events and become such a part of it, of the world picture and world peace. And I find myself that I can't do that fully. I just can't. I can only take so much on into my brain in order to be able to get up the next day and function. So I have chosen just to put my full energy into the work of teaching the children. And I get the input that I can about what's going on in the world. And then with the energy that I have, I try to go in there every day and do something to help make it better.
And I think that, you know, it takes all kinds. And,
yeah.
I will tell you, it you know, a challenge in this role in KKCR, Kauai Soapbox, where our kuleana is to try and bring as many of the voices that want to be heard to the forefront and allow them to be heard. And I try and research and understand it, and I go to all these different things, and it is a lot to hold. And I find, you know, more lately, past couple of years, I've been really, really super focused on the island, or maybe across the islands. When you're looking at the nation and the world, it's all related, but it's not always so easy. So taking care of the kids is a really, really great thing to do for everybody. That's why we have all different kinds of players. Do you find, through the teaching of the arts and the chants and things, that it has a calming effect? We're talking about creating peace, that Nasiri's vision is creating peace through song and, you know, with the children. Do you find that it reaches?
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, and as I was trying to explain, for me, I see two strands in my own personal work. One of them is a full Hawaiian focus, and the other one is a creative arts focus. And very often the two intertwine, but not always. And in terms of the Hawaiian cultural work, I think it's so powerful, and the children love it. When they get into their hula, or they're chanting, or they're singing, or listening to the stories – and learning the history. I see them very engaged, and they take it in, and they feel whole. Whether they're little Hawaiian children or Filipino children or Haole children, they're part of Hawaii because they live here. And so it's a very connecting thing for them to feel the sense of place through the arts. And through, when I work with the Hawaiian arts, there's a tradition of thousands of years, so that's very powerful. Because when you connect to a chant, you're not just connecting to the words, but you're connecting to the thousands of years and the many people that were involved with that chant all the time, and the land that it's speaking of, or whatever value or history that it's talking about. So the things that are Hawaiian that we teach in the schools, yes, it's wonderful for the children to be able to connect to it, helps them to become more full, and gives them the sense of where they belong and where they're from. So I think that helps them to become more whole. Now, when I look at the creative arts, for me, it's a different thing that I'm teaching there. Because there, I'm asking the children to find their own answers and their own art and their own way of being. So I'm not looking at tradition necessarily. I'm not trying to teach them something. I'm trying to tickle something in them that will awaken in them the desire to get out of their box and explore something that they've never heard before, or they've never seen before, or they've never asked their body or their mind to do. And so it's, for me, it's a different experience. And as I say, they often intertwine. I can take a beautiful Hawaiian story and do creative movement with it. And that way I can help the children to learn more about the story and what it means and the places and the names and the people. But I'm going to do it through creative movement. So I'm going to ask them to reflect on what they're doing, to be critical thinking about it, and to find a new and unusual, unique way of expressing. And my thing is dance. So I'm asking them to explore their physicality in a way that isn't competitive or aggressive, but that is self-expression. And for many of them, it takes a little while to open up that door because it's kind of scary, even for adults.
Yeah, and what I was seeing with what Nasiri did, just about every country that you went to, all these kids are dancing throughout it, right? And you're learning somewhat of their language just because it's being sung in their own language. And
Well, everybody in the plane was sleeping. I was up because if I'm in China, I have to pronounce it correctly in their country. So if I'm in Brazil, I have to sing Portuguese. I have to pronounce that correctly. So every country, I have to stay up all night. So make sure that when I'm tomorrow on the set with children, I have to be just like them. So it was not easy to pronounce some of the words, but I was able to do it. Talking based on your conversation, I have created a curriculum based in my music. And Clark County, Nevada, is going to put in the schools in Las Vegas. Music and chanting and voice is vibration. So if it's a pure vibration and coming from an innocent voice of children, and I, at the time, when I was touring, I was also completely abstaining from anything. So I was very pure because I wanted my voice to be as innocent as the children. So it is very important. So when you listen to music with a voice that had vibration, is pure and clean, the effect is tremendously different than maybe a drunken guy singing song or doing other things. So that's why we have a great curriculum that is for schools. When I was in Israel and Palestine, that both kids and the teachers came to me, they said that you should have, because we have so much war going on, your music should be part of the curriculum of education. And I come from education family background myself. So I created this curriculum. Is fabulous. You know, it's all the picture with the children and everything else. Because my words are very innocent. I write song like I was writing for my child. I write song for children that are innocent. So every one of my word is very well thought of. I have a big catalog of songs. But song itself doesn't take me long. But the lyrics takes me long. Until that the lyric is perfected and is correct and has to be positive to change the world. For example, my song Love Sees No Color or We Are Brothers is part of this education that, you know, we're trying to put in Clark County, or Clark County wants to do it. But it is very important. The board is a sound, and the sound and the vibration has to be pure and clean in order to be effective. So that's why the songs I have, I write them very innocent. I don't write them, your skirt is short, your leg is long. I write songs that has meaningful. The world is full of great singers and songwriters. I didn't do music. I'm not for hire. Nobody should. I'm not here. Nobody can hire me. I did music to change the world with the good vibration.
Bravo.
So now that we were talking about Kauai, I wrote a song. Everybody talks about Planet Green, but nobody actually wrote a song that is effective and powerful. I have a song called Mother Nature that is very... I actually start shooting the video, one of the videos right here, part of it in by Secret Beach. But you know, it's an effective song. It's for Mother Nature. And every time anybody hears that, he says, is that why you live in Kauai? I say, yes, that's the most perfect Mother Nature place to be.
Should I play it?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
He's got it also in his CD, too.
Yeah, so let me try. Should be coming on. So funny, I rarely play music in here. Marshall, can you go get one of those guys? We'll have mm-hmm. them come back.
Or you
want
to give it to me, I do.
It's the board. It's getting it coming through the board. Dean, this is Kauai Community Radio, so it's just us folks. So I was playing track one.
Hold on.
Okay, so it's CD1, right?
Yeah. So Nasiri.
Yeah,
he wants track three. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Got the manager in here to help me.
Thank
right
you.
On.
Nature's harmony. Three.
every creature kind, in every heart and mind. Let Mother Nature be. Mother Nature, your symphony. So naturally, birds so gracefully, a rose grows perfectly, sun shines eternally, winter turns to spring, as seasons come and go, a new life will begin, for everything to grow. Clouds of thunder, filled with rain, bring your back again, crystal clear, your skies are blue, so perfect all the things you do. Mother Nature, your symphony.
Mother Nature,
yeah,
keeping it forever green. So thank you so much. So that was written about Kauai.
Kauai, my favorite place in the world. It's so beautiful here. It's awesome place, and I hope they keep it this way. I don't want too much growth. I don't want no GMOs. I don't want anything synthetic. I don't want high rises. I like to see it the way it is. This is the only frontier left in the United States. And it's so close to mainland, and this, we got to keep it this way. We don't want this to get polluted. We don't want this to get cars and trucks and too many people. So the way it is just perfect.
It's a challenge. It's definitely a challenge for everybody to try and keep that balance and keep people being able to make their living. And Molly, when do you have a program coming up? Do you have some teaching events coming up?
Yes.
So, where are they?
The teaching event that I have coming up is really being offered to teachers.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's for...
Keep your mouth right in the mic.
Okay, how about... Is this good?
Yeah.
Yeah. The teaching event is a workshop, and it's offered to DOE teachers and preschool teachers and charter school teachers, and it is about compassion in the classroom. So it's sowing the seeds of peace, starting with the babies.
And you can't say anything about cost, if there is a cost, but when is it and where is it and how do people sign up?
Okay. It's going to be held for 3 Saturdays, one in January, one in February, one in March. I don't know the exact dates right off the top of my head, but those are the months. And DOE teachers, they're familiar with something called the PEDERI site.
Which means Department of Education, mostly public school or charter
Department
school.
Of Education is DOE, right. And those teachers, they know this PEDERI site. You go there if you want to take courses in what we refer to as professional development, so that you can learn more ways and strategies of being successful in the classroom. And... teachers that are in preschools, they could call the HTY, which is the Honolulu Theater for Youth on Oahu. Because this workshop, like much of the work that I do, is sponsored by statewide organizations. There are very strong arts education groups in Oahu and Maui in particular. And they come together, the Maui Arts and Cultural Center, we refer to it as the MAC. They're leaders in arts education in the state. They offer wonderful smorgasbord of workshops to their teachers over there in various parts of the arts, and in drama and dance and music throughout the year. And Oahu is also very strong. Kauai is just getting started, really, in offering. So we're excited to be a part of that. I'm going to be offering it with a colleague, a brilliant friend of mine named Dr. Jamie Simpson Steele, who's in the education department of the University of Hawaii at Manoa. And we developed this course together. And it uses Hawaiian puppets. And it helps teachers get some ideas about how to use creative dance and creative drama and to work with stories to help children really reflect on the stories and get their own ideas of how to help themselves be happy with each other and have peaceful relationships with each other, which is often a struggle for little ones with sharing and being bossy and, you know, wanting this and the other one wanting that. So we're looking at it through that angle and helping children to really reflect and come into their thinking about it through the way that we try to help them reflect critically about the stories and their own life situations. So the preschool teachers, if they want to do it, they would sign up by calling Honolulu Theater for Youth, who's the main sponsoring organization. Do you want me to give their phone number?
Yes.
Okay. Their phone number in Honolulu is 808-839-9885, extension 704.
Okay, so, and then just in case somebody just tuned in, tell them one more time what that number would help them sign up for.
That would help preschool teachers sign up for a 3-Saturday, January, February, and March series of workshops in how to use creative drama and dance, reflective questioning, and critical thinking skills, along with puppetry in the classroom to help develop compassion among the children.
Well, that's wonderful. And, I thank you both for the really good things that you do, whether it is at a global level or a local level. And, you know, a lot of it takes working with the political leaders, like we see what Nasiri did. He's made a point when he goes to different places to connect with them. And then I know that you're really well supported by the people around here, right? You're a pretty popular girl, actually.
Thank you. Well, I'm very thrilled, really, to love my work so much and to have so many wonderful people to work with. So these organizations that I mentioned on Oahu and Maui, so many brilliant educators, and we get together all the time to talk endlessly about how to make our work better and share with each other what we're doing. Every March, they will. There's about 70 of us in the state that do this kind of work, and some of the leaders will get together, and we always have a retreat in March. We go to Oahu usually, sometimes we've been to Maui, and they'll bring over leaders nationally or internationally to give us workshops and teach us more. So it's a delightful group to be associated with.
And your straight job, are you still with Kanui Kapono? I know you help different schools. You've definitely helped Kilauea School and Hanalei School, and I've seen you all over the place.
I'm looking forward to going back to Kilauea School very soon with an Artists in the Schools grant. And those grants are funded by the State Foundation on Culture and the Arts in Oahu. They're big supporters of arts and education. And I share that with Carrie Valentine, who is another arts educator like myself. Then I'll be going to Kawaikini, which is a school that I love. It's a Hawaiian language immersion school in Puhi. So I just love going there because the olelo is so thriving. And it's wonderful to be around people that are not only dedicated to educating children, but to perpetuating the olelo. So it's an exciting place to work. So I'm doing a creative movement grant down there. And then, yes, I get to continue. And one thing, I'd like to give a big shout-out to Kanui Kapono because they're one of the few schools that will hire me straight up just to do creative arts in their school. And I'm so grateful for that they supported in that way. And I do lots of creative movement. We call it mo'olelo down there because we base it around Hawaiian stories. And all my work there is very integrated with Hawaiian studies, when I teach through grants in other schools, I usually try to integrate with what the teacher is doing. So we might look at stories from China or Japan, or we might do straight up science. So, but at Kanui Kupono, I always, you know, am part of their Ike Hawaii team. So I integrate my creative arts with the Hawaiian studies work. And I love it all. And I had many happy, happy years twirling around the cafeterias in Hanalei.
Yeah.
Many years. Yeah.
Yeah. You have had your presence for quite a long time, and I do want to really acknowledge the Malama Kalihiwai program that you did for a number of years while my kids were in school, so that was very good. For the listeners, we have got a new phone system. We were having phone troubles, and now we have a new phone system. Our numbers are still the same. To call online, to be on the air, it's 826-7771. I've had quiet listenership, and I don't know if that's because I haven't invited the calls or if the phone is working or not. But if you have questions for either one of these people, 826-7771. And I want to shift a little bit into more of the things that are going on the island, and I want to give a shout out to the police department. I'm usually kind of one of their biggest critics, or you know, I'm pretty I keep a watchful eye. I joke. We're gonna have Justin Caller on pretty soon. He's our prosecutor. I usually open with him that I'm representing the defense, but we did have a couple of citizens make a poor choice. Did you hear about that? Robbing the bank, Bank of Hawaii last Friday with an airsoft rifle. So thank goodness nobody got shot. Like, those guys could have got shot. What makes me feel good to hear that they did that, even though it's incredibly poor judgment, is they never had any intention to really hurt anybody. So that's good. But not a good choice. But the police... I was kind of thinking they were going to call in by now. They said that they might. They might have gotten something that has caused them to be busy. But I wanted to give them a good pat on the back for handling that really well. Did you follow it? They caught them within a couple of hours, or who they believe did, as well as the money, and, you know, kind of got everything back, and nobody was hurt, and these guys weren't hurt, and... I'm not going to mention their names on the air, and I don't know them very well, but I see them around, and, you know, I wish they hadn't made a choice like that.
Yeah. When I hear things like that, I can only immediately... I feel such compassion for the people that are so desperate to do something like that. And it always makes me think, when I think of someone doing something so outrageous, it kind of makes me think about the drug problem.
And yeah, we don't know that that was part of it,
no.
But that's like... you know, option A that you get to, you think, they must have.
Yeah. And I have so much love for people that are suffering from that and families. And so, yeah, you just really feel compassion for these people that are so desperate to look at these kinds of choices in life. And that's where I think our songs and our education, you know, as another place I have to believe we can make a difference, is helping kids feel that they are whole enough to go forward in life without having to turn to those kinds of alternatives to be happy.
Yes, I would think so, too. And I guess if I'm using the voice of the radio right now for anybody who contemplates a poor choice like that, there was only $1,000 in the till anyway. I mean, the way it is set up, they can't be bringing out more money. So it's probably a 10-year sentence. Is what somebody would get, because the intention is there. It doesn't matter whether that was an airsoft or whatever it was. It doesn't make sense. You know, I'm not encouraging anybody to do something for even a lot of money, but I'm saying don't make a bad choice like that. You know, please. You know, I look at these people and I've probably known them as children. You know, they're not that old. And
you know, sometimes I don't know, but when I listen to your music, Nasiri, I'm so uplifted by your lyrics and by the melodies that you've chosen. But when I think about most people in the world, in America anyway, what I can see is the media and everything that they're surrounded with, much of it is extremely violent. And, you know, that is what people are seeing every day. That, like, that's the example of how to live. How much bank robberies, if you turned on the television, would you see in one night? Probably quite a few. A lot of crime going on the television. I don't have a television, I don't watch it, but I just have this sense from what I'm getting. So, you know, I think in some ways that's what's feeding the minds of people that think about doing something like that.
You know, you're probably right. You know, in games and media, it makes that suggestion. Well, I want to say, Kauai Police Department, good job.
Yeah.
Good job. Kudos.
Thank
and thank you. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia and Marshall with Kauai Soapbox. And you're giving me three syllables, but I always say Maoli. How are you saying your name?
Well, I spell my name. Now, I used to spell it as one word, but when I went to Aotearoa, New Zealand, I saw them using it a lot, my name, for various things, and they use it, spell it with two words. So I spell the first word M-A-U-L-I, and I pronounce it Maoli.
Okay.
And the second one is Ola.
Okay.
Ola. So
which
I say
life.
Maoli Ola.
Maoli Ola. Okay.
Yeah.
And Nasiri. So Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with the Kauai Store.
The Kauai Store is located in Kapa'a on the highway in front of Kostulas. The store has authentic Kauai products including clothing, snacks, art, coffee, crafts, and more. We even have local food samples. The Kauai Store products are also available online at thekauaistore.com.
KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea K224CQ Anahola K284AL Haleiwa.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
Church of the Pacific, providing Wednesday's free food pantry, a community garden, facilities available for events, music, craft fairs, meetings, classes, volunteer opportunities. Church of the Pacific, where community gathers. The Little Church with the Big Heart, 826-6481, churchofthepacific.org.
And that is in Princeville. They need to say that. That's in Princeville. They do all kinds of good things. And well, let's hear from Amy Goodman from Democracy Now!
Aloha, listeners of KKCR. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global news hour, urging you to support Kauai Community Radio. As a beacon of free speech, KKCR has been broadcasting from their jungle shack and building community in the island since 1997. KKCR brings you Hawaiian culture and music, independent voices and choices like Democracy Now!, otherwise shut out from the corporate media. During this program, please show your love for KKCR by making an investment in the station that loves you and become a sustaining member. Your monthly support at any level will pay dividends all year long and ensure the continued success of Kauai Community Radio. From our family at Democracy Now! To your ohana in the center of the Pacific, mahalo for your support. It really does make a difference.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. It really does make a difference. We're very lucky for all the different individual donors that makes this be a part of our world here, and we're all working together. So I had a call in with a question about Dr. Sims' Pegasus Project, and is it happening? I did try and look into that, and I think that there's a probate issue. We had a wonderful vet here, just Joanne Yukimura, our councilwoman. She called him a bodhisattva, and I thought that is exactly right, and that means like a spirit that could have ascended that stays on this earth to just do good. He was amazing, and he passed away. They made a reality show out of him towards the end of his life there, Aloha Vet, and that was really kind of a wonderful thing. But last I heard, which wasn't too long ago, that it is still in his affairs are still in probate. His illness came on very suddenly, and I think everybody, including him, was shocked by it. So that's the best of my knowledge on that. I want to let people know that the opening of the state legislature is January 19th, so just a few more weeks out, less than a few weeks. It's 2 weeks out, and it's kind of a big deal because if there's something that you want done, you need to have that request in before the opening. Like, you can maybe hand it in that day, but our legislators are Senator Ron Kochi for the whole island, and then we have Derek Kawakami from Wailua River to Haena. We have Jimmy Tokioka in that central Lihue Puhi area, and I'm not quite sure where it breaks. I think Kaloa is in that, but it goes, Demarakawa is to the west. And if you have something that's important, it's time to ask for it. Something I'm going to ask for that they should have done a long time ago is to allow testimony on video, because it is so expensive to just go over there, and you buy the tickets last minute. We have this really great capital.hawaii.gov website that lets us sit there and look and follow the legislation that goes through, and all that affects the things like the grant and aid that you're speaking of that different organizations make to be able to create money for themselves, or has a lot of effect. But speaking of that, because I mentioned it to the CEO of Hawaiian Air, who was at the Chamber of Commerce luncheon today, he actually did a really, really good job speaking, and I learned quite a bit, and it was clear that he realized that everybody is absolutely cringing over the cost of inter-island flight. And I know last year I ended up going over there 5 times for testimony, and that cost me about $2,000, and that's my personal money. And to go over for 3-minute testimony, sometimes 2-minute testimony, it's really, really rough. So I am going to ask again for, the video testimony ability. I don't know why they don't have it, probably because they know that they'll never get out of there. Everybody is going to be able to testify. In my opinion, we have a rather Oahu-centric legislature. Most of the population lives there. And so most of the legislators represent that. And the neighbor islands tend to not have their interests met as much. And so when we do have to go and stand up for ourselves, it's, incredibly expensive, and sometimes people don't even get to speak. But Hawaiian Air, I'll talk about that for a moment. A few interesting things.
Great.
Great. Okay. All right. Here's a new thing I didn't know. They have spent almost $15 billion in new airplanes. And that's how much inventory that they have now. So they've really been trying to grow the business. They feel like the only way that they can stay viable is to have these legs that go across the ocean in each direction. And they're going international flights now, too. So in 4 years, 4 years ago, their debt level was $200 million. And now it's over $1 billion. So the guy's name is Mark. He said they are the most heavily leveraged airlines right now, really, of anywhere. So they are very leveraged out. So they have a lot of debt to pay. So these guys are looking at my little bar chart here that they gave us on what their debt is. 2014, they had over $1 billion worth of debt. Now, 2015, Q3 of 2015, they've got it down to $914 million. But so that's where some of it goes. But he was right off the bat acknowledging how crazy expensive it is to fly inter-island and bringing up how come you can fly round trip to Las Vegas sometimes for less than it costs to go to Oahu. And so he did explain that. So I think people might care about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, let's see.
So
I'm
going to tell you. Taxes are about 25% of the ticket price. So their average ticket price right now is $69. But then you take a whole... It doesn't seem like that, right?
Yeah, because I'd never get one for $69.
You never get one for $69. But then, so really, if you stick another 15 to $20 on top of it, then you're like at $89, and then all right, maybe some of those tickets are $89. So, but it's really high like that. So, he was explaining that that's just the tax. That's not the the fees and charges. So the taxes is 25%. And he said that tax similar is like alcohol and firearms. He was saying it makes it really, really hard. And so there's the same tax on a flight from Lihue to Honolulu as there is from Honolulu to New York. So they have those big prices on it.
Is that because they're state taxes you're talking about here?
Well, we went to the state taxes. Okay. Well, some of the different things. So there's regular tax, and then there's the Homeland Security cost. It's about $7 to $8 a ticket to pay for
all the
getting frisked.
Yeah.
And then he talked about the fees and charges for the expansion of the airport. That gets added on, and it's the same amount that gets added on any flight. So any of those things, it's just a flat rate. It doesn't matter if the flight's 22 minutes or 6 hours, it's the same piece. So the proportion of it is really large on a local flight. And he said that inter-island flights are 23% of their business, and it really is a very important piece of their business. They said the majority of their employees are from Hawaii. They hire over 5,000 people. In fact, 5,499 people, the majority of which are from Hawaii. Even if they're stationed somewhere else, they tend to really bias towards Hawaii. So he said, unlike the other airlines that mostly are not. But he felt that their brand is defined by the inner island image. You know, people, they're from Hawaii, they live in Hawaii, they're embarrassed of the high inner island prices. He also went to the point of talking about a small plane is a whole lot more expensive to fly than a big plane, you know, per mile, per seat, because it doesn't get as good a gas mileage, for one thing, and they can't fill the plane as big. So, you know, when you have these large planes that are much more efficient and they go up and they just hit that cruising speed, and especially if they got a tailwind, they get far better gas rates. But on the small planes, they can't use the big containers to do the luggage. He says it's much, much harder and more labor intensive to man the luggage. And then the cost of putting the gateway out to the plane, you know, the cost of a landing and a takeoff is the same, no matter, you know, what, how far you go. So that most of those costs that are inter-island are because it's fixed cost. And then it's just this short little piece right there. So there's a lot of questions like, how come, this is at the Chamber of Commerce luncheon today, how come we can't have coupons? Because people want coupons. I liked having the coupons.
Yeah.
It was really nice, and you could even get a book of coupons out of the ATM. Do you remember that? You could get money out, or you could get an airline ticket out and stuff like that. It was pretty good. But he said that they are not going to go back to coupons, because what they try and do is push people into the less heavy, heavily traveled planes, you know, the off times. And so with the coupons, it doesn't work out, because everybody uses their coupons for the peak time. And so by doing that, it ends up raising the bottom level fares, and because it averages out the wrong way. So, I mean, he was pretty nice.
Did the question come up of the lack of competition in inter-island flights?
It didn't directly come up. I mean, I think that one of the things that you can see from their charts, when they started to make money is when they lost the competition, mm-hmm. right? So then they're starting to chew down on their debt level. So they, you know, no doubt it made a difference, right?
Of course, they have a monopoly in that whole thing. So it's there's nobody else there. So and the prices they're charging, some of those not really quite the fact, but they are charging too much for especially 20 minutes flight. So it's obviously is a public company, and everybody has to make money, CEOs, and everybody have to make big money. So that's Hawaii Airline actually making very good money. and it's a very successful airline.
He said it's making really good money, but a lot of it is that money is getting applied to the debt. So it still looks like profit, but then they start paying down the debt.
Their stock has been up, and you know, it's, so they're making money.
They're making money. He was saying that they're being successful, and they felt that as they get all these nice, new, efficient planes online. There were some good questions about greenhouse gases and the impact of flights. And, you know, his opinion on that was tourism is a very big supporter of this economy. And if that was replaced with some other way of bringing money into the economy, it would be probably higher impact on the greenhouse. He was grabbing a little bit for that one. I mean, we get on the planes. I actually don't get on the plane very much anymore. But, you know, it has an impact. They're getting more efficient planes that have a little bit less damage. But when we fly around... Oh, here's another thing that he said that was very frustrating for him. The federal highways bill that passed this year, they raised the taxes on airplanes to pay for the interstate highway system. So he said, that didn't really work, you know, for him very well. But it's a place where, you know, that it's what happened. So I found that interesting. Do you tend to fly when you go back and forth to Las Vegas? What airline's your favorite airline to use?
Hawaii Airline happened to be a very good airline. So I fly Hawaii Airline because it's got a direct flight to Honolulu. I wish they had one from Las Vegas to Kauai, but we have to stop in Honolulu.
Yeah. All of those other costs, too, are every leg of the flight. So anytime there's a stop, they have to pay for that. Tonight is the Kilauea Neighborhood Association meeting, always the first Tuesday of the month, so that's 7 o'clock. There's a handful of different discussions. I saw Jennifer Luck was on the agenda. She's going to be speaking on Pu'ukumu. We have a caller. Aloha.
Hi, how are you?
You're on the air.
Aloha.
Hi.
So one of the things that you mentioned about Hawaiian Airlines, that the gentleman, Mark, I think was his name,
yes,
said about the longer flights being more economical for them. However, in that five-hour time, like from Lihue to Honolulu, there could be five or six flights, or you know what I'm saying? So
yes.
So they're more often, is what I'm saying.
You know, they are less often than what they used to be, though, because now there's more direct flights to the neighbor islands. I'm surprised, a number of the times when I have flown inner island, the plane is, you know, not very full. So the more they can...
Usually when I've flown, it's pretty full, but yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, so they've narrowed it down. He was saying how they need to narrow it down because they can't have empty flights. But you're bringing up a good point. I had hoped to have had him in here. Somehow we kind of missed on that communication, but he said he will do another show.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, I think it's an interesting topic. Thank you for bringing it on the air.
Okay, thank you so much.
Great. Bye.
Bye. Aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi. Is this me?
It is you.
Oh, thank you. I had a couple of questions and then a comment or two. Probably just one.
Okay, who are the questions for?
He mentioned whether they bought the planes or are leasing the planes.
I think they are buying the planes. He used the word bought.
Okay, well, the only financial reason that I could see to buy the planes right now and go in all that debt is the extremely low interest rates that are available. But most airlines worldwide lease their planes. If they leased the planes instead of buying the planes, then they could deduct that expense from their taxes or their profits or whatever and not even have to go into any of that debt.
So if there is an Akamai listener who is at the luncheon today that has a little bit deeper savvy in the financial subtleties after this call, you could call it in because I believe he said bought. He said they were leveraged, but I could be wrong.
Okay, well, it's neither here nor there, but, you know, as running a business, the only reason to go into that much debt would be to lock in long-term the extremely low interest rates that exist now, because they're probably going to go up. So that makes some sense from that aspect. But as I already said, most airlines worldwide lease their planes. There are numerous leasing companies, and they constantly are replacing the older aircraft with newer aircraft, so you can lease brand-new aircraft or almost brand-new aircraft. So that's one point. The second point is about the airport. Personally, I'm totally against any expansion of the airport. I think it's totally unnecessary. I read the article in the paper recently, and what really stuck in my craw was they want Mr. Neves, or how you pronounce his name, wants to make our airport like every other airport. Well, that just stuck in my craw. One of the wonderful things about Kauai and Hawaii in general and their airports is we have a lot of open-air areas, a lot of landscaping, and that sort of thing. So, you know, I personally think that money that's designated for the airport should be redirected to our traffic.
So issue. Do you have that article right in front of you? How much? I saw that IGE is doing some funding proposal, and so that there is, I saw three things, quite a bit of money coming out. Maybe Marshall can look it up, that there, you know, more beds at KCCC, that's the prison. I think that, you know, they were showing that we are short at present about 64 beds. It's overcrowded. They're looking at building another building. They had quite a bit of money set aside for airport. Marshall's looking it up. I think it was something.
It was $9 million and something.
$9 million, yeah. And then water for Anahola Ag. And that was a question that I turned in at the event today. It didn't get selected, but I said, what's wrong with our airport? Because to me, it seems just fine.
Me too.
The room
and
hears, everybody's
all, I had
nodding.
An article in the paper about it, a letter to the editor about it. We don't need a new airport right now. I mean, there are many other things that are more pressing issues, but that's neither here nor there. I don't think we have much to say about that. I don't think it's an issue hundreds of people protesting.
I think
over
that
it.
You can say something about it, and that's what I was, you know, like, that goes before the legislature. So to be saying that to Ron Cochi or any of our, really, you can send it to all of them. You can send it to sends@hawaii.capital.gov, or you can do it to legislators or reps. You say reps at. You can go in and you can give that statement, and ask to not have that happen, because I would rather see it get directed somewhere else too.
You know, one of the things that stuck in my mind is that it says we'll be filling in the covered garden areas in front of the airport.
I hated that.
Yeah, I mean, that's so special and beautiful when you walk out there. That's, to me,
filling it in with what?
What a wonderful way to welcome our visitors to our wonderful island, is to give them that initial environment. But it also sounds to me like, in the article they mentioned 767s. Now, I'm not that familiar with airplanes, but I think those are pretty big airplanes. I don't think those are the long, narrow ones. If they are, I'm wrong. But that dovetails into the question of, now are they going to extend the runway so that we can bring big, huge, massive planes in here to bring big, huge, massive amounts of more tourists while we do absolutely nothing about our traffic situation? I mean, it's just nuts. The inmates are running the asylum. Anyway, I've taken up enough of your time. And
you said you had three things. So was there
one?
I
forgot. I got so busy venting on the first two, I think I forgot the third one.
Okay. Well, thank you. Marshall, did you have something you wanted to say?
They are going to fill in those gardens for more area for people to line up at the ticket counters.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Oh.
And I don't think it's a good idea. What they're doing is the beauty of this town when you come into the airport is very primitive, is very nice, it's
natural.
That's the worst thing you can do. Any expansion in the airport, it has a reflect in the whole Kauai. That's the worst thing. I recommend that everybody should do something about it and protest or whatever has to be done, or go to legislation, because that's what happened. Look what happened to Honolulu. Look what happened to Maui. I mean, you know, this
exactly.
Is such a beautiful place when you come in here.
Why
and
expand
the thing
it?
Excuse me for talking over you, but the thing that really got me in the article is they're talking like this is already a fait accompli, that it's done, they're going to do it, and that's it.
I will be completely against
together
it.
To prevent it.
Right,
okay.
It's great. The first time you hear about it is, well, the money's been designated, and here's the plan.
Right,
okay,
and then people...
Anyway, thanks for taking
okay,
my call.
Okay, you're welcome. And if people don't want it and they speak out, there's really is a finite amount of money, and other islands or other areas will want that money for something else. So it's not a done deal. I believe I have another caller. Aloha, you are on the air. Thank you so much for holding.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Oh, hi. I was listening to the idea of making our airport more beautiful and all that.
Mm-hmm. Can you speak really directly into the phone? Speak strongly and directly into the phone.
Okay, hold on. Okay. That would be really nice for people to fly in. I like the old days when it was just a little terminal. But people fly in, they see all this glitter and bling, and then they get out on the road and they get a flat tire because they're falling in a pothole.
Right, and even ruining the tire. I have found that because I've got a little car, and you hit those potholes and it actually bursts the sidewall of the tire. It's pretty tough. I've had to replace them.
I know. But, instead of, I think the airport is beautiful like it is. Like, let's concentrate on once you get out of the terminal on the road.
Yep, so you need to tell your senator, and you can write things to the paper if that's a perspective that you're holding. You need to get that word out, but the very best way is communicating that to your reps and your senator.
Right.
They're not deaf.
I'm sorry.
I said they aren't deaf. They actually are pretty good.
Right. And the other thing is, what was very irritating is our tour buses are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I was coming up Kuamo'o Road. There were four of them parked on where the falls are. And that's a disintegrating hill.
Right.
You can't have that much weight. Not only that much pollution from them keeping their engines running, four of them at a time with like 40 people, maybe 50. I don't know how much they hold.
Yeah, it's a strong impact.
And one of them passed me by on the golf course road because I was going too slow for him. And we're talking a major big tour bus, not a little one, but like bigger than a school bus.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing those things. And then I do encourage you to speak to your legislators because it will make a difference.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. I believe we have another caller. Aloha, you're on the air. Aloha, you're on the air.
Aloha, Felicia.
Can you speak right into the phone? It's muffled. It's pretty hard to hear you. Can you speak right into the phone?
Yeah. Can I be heard now?
A little bit better. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to comment about the person who had said that when things are written in the newspaper, especially regarding our airport, that things are set in stone.
It sounds like they're set in stone, is what he said.
But they're never set in stone. For example, for 8 years, we've talked about a 30-meter telescope being set in stone up on the mountain of Mauna Kea, and it's not set in stone anymore. So I just want to encourage all the people out there on Kauai that nothing is ever set in stone, and that we can always get together and change things for the way we need them to be. So I just want to encourage everyone to go out there and write to the legislator, like you said. say, hey, you know, we need to keep our airport the way it is because there's no need for this kind of project. We can direct their money to other resources. So let's not give up on things. And we've already seen things happen in 2015 that have not gone into effect because of the power of the people. So let's remember that in 2016, the power of the people is strong. So let's stand for whatever we need to.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And I apologize to the listeners right now. I can't get onto the internet. I would be giving you these emails directly. But if you go on to resources on my FeliciaCowden.com page, I have all the contact information, all the legislative stuff. You can go right into it and be able to communicate with these people and see what's going on. And I'm always happy to teach people how to do it. Do we have another caller? Aloha, thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I just want to make a comment about all the speculation about improvements at the airport and all that kind of stuff. I work at the airport.
Oh, perfect.
I have not heard anything about them getting rid of the green areas, but, you know, we're not always informed about everything. We already have 767s that can land at Liyue, and they do come in because Hawaiian Airlines has a regular flight that is a 767, and United also has had, American has had. And as far as the improvements at the airport, most of the improvements need to be done underneath, not upstairs.
So what are they like? They're like the baggage handling and...
Well, like the belts that, you know, send the bags up, you know, there's quite a few of the airlines, and I won't specify which ones, but there's quite a few of them that have broken equipment, and, you know, there's all kinds of going back and forth that the state's going to take over or the airline is responsible, so everybody's dragging their feet, and, you know, it's pretty frustrating because, you know, we're all working with broken stuff.
So help me if I'm hearing you correctly. Like, what I'm hearing is a correction would be if I was stressed about this money allocation that I would maybe be writing, I appreciate the expense towards the infrastructure of being able to function, just not the cosmetic changes. Do you know if they're going to extend the runway, or it sounds like they don't need to?
Well, I can't see that they need to run to expand because we already have that kind of aircraft. We have military aircraft that lands there. You know, I mean, there's plenty of runway for them to get in and get out.
How many people are on a 767?
Over 300.
And how many of those come in a week? Do you know?
Hawaiian has a daily.
Daily.
They have a daily flight.
And then, but the other airlines probably do as well.
No. We used to have a daily flight, and now we're downsized. We don't have a daily flight. And I'm sure Hawaiian saw the market that was wide open because they've expanded all over the world. So, you know, they can. But one of the problems is you have to have the area downstairs on the ramp to be able to load the bags. You have to be able to have an area where you can put the cans to load the bags that are going to go onto the plane. And you have to have operators that know how to use the equipment. And that's not necessarily the case. For a lot of the airlines, hire contract service workers. And, you know, for the amount of money that they get paid, they're not going to expand their operations and bring in big airplanes where, you know, somebody that's making $8 or $9 an hour is going to be handling that kind of equipment.
Well, thank you. I love it when I would call you an Aka My Listener. You are right, primary source, so we appreciate your call in.
Well, thank you very much, and I am with everybody else. I don't think that we need, you know, a huge expansion at the airport except to help the workers out more than the cosmetic upstairs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Aloha.
Bye. Aloha.
And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox, and in the studio with me is I don't say your name right, Maoli Ola Cook.
Perfect, thank
okay.
you. Mahalo.
And Nasiri and Marshall. And Here's another thing. I can't help it. I'm on top of all the legislative stuff.
Good
it's
for
sort
you.
Of my
thank you for doing it.
Kuleana a little bit. We are having coming up general excise tax at 5 o'clock Wednesday after next at the county council building. So it's a public hearing. It's kind of a big deal. General excise tax sounds pretty boring, right?
I pay it all the time.
Well, so we're going to be we're talking about raising the general excise tax.
What is general excise tax exactly?
General excise tax is almost like a sales tax. It's just that it's embedded in almost everything. So it kind of pyramids up. So when you right now the general excise tax is 4% or almost 4.016% because that's often what the retailer will charge to be able to cover how it digs into their amount of money. And even when we're talking about the plane tickets, they're not allowed to put how much they're taking and how much the tax is. So if you see it says $120, you don't know that maybe they're only getting $80 of it. But when you go to the grocery store, if something says it's $10, then you pay $10.41 typically. So many places have a sales tax, and so it just happens at the retail level right there. But here when we have a general excise tax, it's embedded in absolutely every, or just about every interaction, any piece of commerce. So when you pay for your insurance, you pay tax on that. When you pay for your car rental, you pay for it. Every piece that you do that causes business to happen gets this general excise tax. So it embeds it. When you bring it up 1.5%, which is what we're basically looking at between two different bills that are there, it brings everything up that much. So it's a regressive tax, which means if you don't have much money, typically you spend everything you have. If you live on $20,000 a year, you're going to spend $20,000. So you're going to get that whole thing taxed. If, say, you have $500,000 a year of income, you might still yet only spend $60,000 or $70,000, you know, in things that would be purchased here where they would get taxed. So you don't pay nearly as much of a percentage of what you do. But here's Felicia's going to lose some friends for saying this. Some people pretty much don't pay any kind of tax anywhere. That's what I watch is... people have gotten quite creative at avoiding the economic system. I'm a little bit on that page. Like, I eat food I grow out of my yard. You know, I do what I can. There's a share economy that's going on. But, you know, where we get the county tax is from real property tax. So landowners pay it the most. And then it gets passed on somewhat to renters, but typically not really all as much. Sometimes the property tax is so extraordinary, you couldn't pass it on to the renters. And so when they move it into a general excise tax, they tax the cars, right, when you get your licenses or your registration. But there's not very many forms of making money for the county. And the GET tax right now goes to the state. So if the county was to take this general excise tax and put it on top of it, it would be the first one that they've done here on Kauai. The other islands have some GET.
You know, I'm really not very informed or expert on it, but for myself, as a freelance teaching artist, so I have to pay general excise tax on all of those grants and the kind of money that I earn from that. I have to pay every piece of money that I get in, I have to keep track of it and pay the GE tax on it. And then, of course, I pay my regular taxes on it. But if I have a job and I'm on someone's payroll, then they just pay me. I don't pay GE tax on that. You know, I just get that and they take out the Social Security and all that.
But so, yeah, when you get paid the other way, though, you don't get the Social Security and the income tax. I know when I had my little Akamai Learning, which was like a not-for-profit, I just never bothered to make it be a non-profit.
Yeah.
So when people contribute anything, whether they're paying a very meager tuition that might be there 1 year or direct trying to help buy materials or something like that, I still would have to pay 4% on it.
Yeah, and that's why, to me, I think other people like myself who are independent workers and they're not getting paid on a salary from some company or organization, it would have a big impact on me if they raised the GE tax, because that's how I earn a lot of my money, is that way. So,
did you mention a number, what they're proposing that tax would be?
Well, there's two different proposals that are coming up. So one is 0.5% and one is 1%. And so the county, I believe, is doing the 0.5% for transportation, and the state wants to put another percent on for schools. And, you know, education is very important, and, you know, I'm not sure how much throwing money into it actually really solves it. I think that we need to be really have the flexibility to be able to be structuring schools a little bit different, and it is very difficult to make those changes. I've been helping with three different charter school efforts, and, you know, even within that, the amount of latitude for changing the way they're set up is very, very limited. Like, I would like to see in the high school level letting go of the Carnegie unit and having it more portfolio-based. And where I got that was when I was the chair of the school community council for Kapaa High, and the state superintendent of schools sent me to a workshop with Tony Wagner, and learning about this is like almost 10 years ago, and the state wanted to make that change, and it's just really difficult. And I don't think it serves our students to be learning in a structure that worked well 100 years ago. She's raising her hand.
I'm so supportive of that. I could tell you one great thing that I think is happening in education in the state, and that is this concept of turnaround schools. Have you heard about that at all?
Mm-mm.
It's actually nationwide, and it was started because so many of our schools are just failing. And so they had other methods of remediation where they would send somebody in, and everybody had to teach exactly
right.
by the script and such. But now in this turnaround schools, what they found is they looked around the country and they saw where some schools were able to manage to get their scores up higher, but the way they were doing it was so didactic and so factory-oriented that people that are associated with the Kennedy Center got excited about the arts, said, let's try it with the arts. And so they got funding from President Obama, and they went into some of the most needy schools in very low-income districts, schools that had very bad...
Poor performance.
Yes, very poor performance. And they're turning them around. So they have three of these schools on Oahu now, three turnaround schools. Jake Shimabukuro, Jack Johnson, and Alfre Woodard.
Mm.
Successful stars.
Music stars.
Agree to... And, well, Alfre's in drama, right?
Okay.
They agree to work with the schools, and they come in and they do things for them, performances and classes and such, and then they get other artists to come in. So they're really trying to turn the schools around through the arts, and they're having success. They have good reports, and it's seeming to work. So I'm so grateful that some schools are taking that approach to solving their problems. But I often cannot understand, when I study about education, there are so many great minds in education around the country, so many dynamic thinkers. And why are they not in charge of how schools are structured and set up? Because when I go to schools, I see teachers themselves and administrators feeling just what you're saying, that their hands are very tied.
Yeah, we have some extraordinary teachers.
Yeah.
And I see them, you know, they stay doing what they're doing because they love the students and they feel a real responsibility to it. And it's not like they don't like their principals or their administrators. It's just they're in a box that isn't appropriate any longer. There are so many different ways to be educating our youth. And they self-educate. You know, you can learn on the internet. You can learn on your little phone that's right in front of you. And, you know, they're always getting taken away from the kids. And, you know, they shouldn't be sitting on the phone right there. But they can learn at their own pace. There's all different kinds of
yes.
ways that people can learn. And we need to be breaking out of that mold. And I think that we're going to have to, because we can't afford the way that the schools are really structured anymore. We can't afford anything that we got. We can't afford our roads. We can't afford our sewer systems. We can't afford our airports.
Yeah, we can't afford to have more people that could not find anything at school to help them avoid. The only solution they can think of is to rob a bank. You know, somehow I just believe if those kids had been able to experience something more positive in their education, they might have been saved from that choice.
Yes.
So,
Marshall, do you have a topic? He usually has a lot of topics, and he's kind of quiet, and then he walks away with a full list.
Yeah, right. Where do you want to go? You want to go?
Well, tell me let's throw it out there.
All right. Well, I really enjoy watching the State of the Union address.
When was it? I missed it.
No, it's next Tuesday.
Okay.
So mark your calendar. And we have Nikki Haley, the South Carolina governor, giving the Republican response to that. And really, the outstanding news of today and yesterday was the measures on gun control that Obama is taking. He's taking executive action because he has not been able to get the Congress to move at all on that. And
that's kind of an interesting topic. I grew up in a redneck area. I will claim that. Like, my school kids, put their holsters on as they were, they leave school, they get the holster in the truck, they get out of the truck, they're going to put the holster on because they're going to go out ranching. And so, when I watch this stuff, that's kind of, it's interesting to see the way the media manipulates what's going on in Oregon. I watched it on Russia television, this, saying, people are really standing up against the U.S. government, and then you watch it. I consider myself a liberal environmentalist, but, they're like, those wackos. And, you see three different angles on it. And having grown up in an area like this, it's just, not that big of a deal to be wearing guns on your hips. I mean, that's at least where it was when I was growing up, people had them that way. And when you're ranching, you need it that way because there might be mountain lions or snakes or, there's different things. There's predators. So they naturally, they got one in the saddle and one on, they got a sidearm, and it's kind of the normal way to be. And doing a burn barrier, that's kind of normal too. So, I see the gun lobby people go, it's a bunch of really whack people. And I don't get TV, so I haven't really been able to watch very much of it. It's probably got saturation coverage. But I think between this and the San Bernardino shootings, it's the whole effort is going to be to be able to use these anti-terrorism laws against the citizen. And I frankly have a problem with that. I don't like to see that. Now, should people have AK-47s, no. These ranchers, are they carrying things like that, or what are they carrying? They're just carrying their
sidearms.
Sidearms, which is like putting your cell phone on for certain communities.
Right. They're everywhere at their sidearms. What I heard, an interview with a local journalist there who also had a ranch, so he was kind of in the crowd, except he wasn't part of this, miniature uprising, what have you. Apparently it's a group of people on a wildlife refuge in the middle of nowhere. And, it's not the middle of nowhere to them, but apparently it's a very sparsely populated area. And what they actually are expressing is frustrations with what they see as federal encroachment on lands, because they have an interest in logging and cow raising and whatever. So it doesn't sound like they're terrorists, and it also doesn't sound like the government is treating them like terrorists. They haven't taken any steps to bust onto the wildlife refuge.
Right. It's interesting, and it is a very clear difference between how different ethnicities are dealt with. If that was people of African-American descent that we're doing, I don't think they would be taking it judiciously. We have a caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to thank you for mentioning in relation to gun rights and stuff like that, and spending a lot of time in the Northern Sierras, coming across mountain lions, especially females with baby cubs.
Right.
And snakes. And snakes, too. I appreciate you were mentioning that.
Wolves, bears. I mean, when we just be walking and there's those tracks. You know, it's real. So thank you for validating that.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Aloha.
Aloha. And Jazz with John is coming up next. He always does a great job. Yeah, so people need those. And you really, if you think of it, if you have your 14-year-old kid out there on a horse looking after the livestock, and there are mountain lions, and there are predatory animals, and would you want your kid out there in a way where they couldn't take care of themselves? Like they could get killed, right? So it's people grow up that way. It's like here we have a surfboard gun and they get their diapers off. I mean, 8-year-olds are getting their first gun in some of those areas.
But I don't think there's an issue of taking guns away from people who have a legitimate use for them. Do you?
I probably need to be following it closer. Oh. I mean, I just hear it doesn't come out to me, in my opinion, non-emotional. Like when I watch how they present these things, it's not a calm discussion. It is, highly emotionally charged. I can tell that they're trying to manipulate how I feel. They want me to either really not like these ranchers or really, really want me to like them, or you know, it's not. Hey, let's just look at this in a calm manner, and what's going on here, and what really did happen. It's, you know, because I don't have TV, so I have to look around on the internet, and so it's really radically in one direction or another.
Well, you know, we're talking. Well, I mentioned the gun control measures that President Obama has taken, and we're kind of mixing that up with the situation in Oregon.
Okay. Yes.
And so, but we're talking about different things. These measures were not meant to, in any way, infringe on rural people's use of their guns. It's what they're trying to do is cut down on some of the slaughter that happens in the United States. All the time. You know, you mentioned a figure last week about the number of deaths by gun in the United
States.
About
13,000 average a year.
You know, I looked at that. I saw the same figure I'd seen before. It's 30,000 a year. Oh. So it's about 400,000 since 2001.
Yeah, it's a crazy amount. So when we look at what we see as an outrageous death, I think I saw some comparative when they had the bombing in France, in Paris, that many people typically get killed every day in America with gun violence.
Right. It happens all the time. So here's the kind of thing that President Obama is doing, okay? It's finally, the debate is, okay, the debate's not over, but basically he is able to do these things legally. They say that they're going to challenge it in court, but you have a person who is allowed to own a gun because they've passed a background check, right? So that gun is theirs, and they can't hand it off to somebody else, right? So he's proposing that we have smart guns, like your smartphone. When you put your finger on it to unlock it, that only the person who owns the gun would be able to use the gun. So he doesn't say you can't have guns. It means only you are going to use it. And, you know, so he took a measure regarding mental health. And at first I was like, oh, that doesn't sound so great, because I thought that they were going to report people who have seen a doctor for mental health issues as being or needing to be investigated before they get a gun, or it disqualifies. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they disqualify veterans. I noticed that, and sometimes I cringe over that. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, what it actually is that people who have been denied a gun because of mental health issues, they're going to make it easier for states to share that information. So it's not like an increase in...
it's just better cross-connection.
Better cross-connection. But along with that, there's a new $500 million for mental health care. So
that's good.
Yeah, that's great news. A real creative,
probably
positive
actually, yeah,
approach to
that's,
it.
That's a good one. We probably even need more than that. We have one last caller, and they're going to have to be really quick. Then we're going to all say goodbye, just a final short thought. And then we're going to have the county council report and Jazz with John. Aloha, you're on the air. Thank you for holding.
Aloha, Felicia. It's Carol.
Hi, Carol.
How are you?
Good, good.
Thank you for this discussion. I've just caught the end of it. We watched an amazing documentary the other night called Unbranded.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically about range management. It's more about the wild horses, the Mustangs on the range on the mainland. I grew up in Idaho and knew a lot of ranchers and farmers, and it's a good perspective from different viewpoints on range management, which is part of the issue with these guys in Oregon. And it gives all sides, you know, people who are concerned about the wildlife, people who are concerned about farming and ranching and grazeland and the United States government.
Yes.
So it's a great thing to watch if you want to see some perspective on how people feel and what they're doing out there. And it's not related to guns per se, but we found it to be really, really good.
Well, thank you. I'm going to look for it. I bet I'll find it on Netflix. So thank you so much.
That's where we found it. Thank you for the show.
Unbranded. I'll watch it. I appreciate it. Aloha.
Aloha.
So we are at the end of our show. We're just going to do a very quick signing out from each person, and then we're going to go to the county council report. So thank you for coming in. Do you have a final thought?
I think the safe country like United States, we don't even need to have a gun.
Okay. And your thought?
I'm just grateful to be here, and I so love what you're doing, Felicia. I've enjoyed the soapbox for many years, and I'm happy I could just have a little part in it tonight. Thank you for what you folks are doing in KKCR.
Yeah, thank you for coming in. And anybody listening, if you'd like to come in, contact me. Marshall?
Thank you both for coming in. Really nice discussion. Thank you, Felicia.
Yes.
Aloha, everyone.
Aloha, everybody. I feel such a blessing being in here.
Thank you, Felicia.
So we are going to have Jazz with John coming up, and right now we're going to have the county council report, and I'm going to be there tomorrow morning, and I it's only going to be half day, so you kind of got to go in early, and if you do want to go, and it makes such a difference when people are in there. It really does. Okay, here's the county council report, and it's a hard job, by the way.
Aloha. I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of January 4th. There will be a council committee meeting on Wednesday at 8:30 a.m., and also there will be a special council meeting at 1:30 p.m. Both meetings will be in the council chambers in Lihue. Purpose of the special meeting is to hold a non-public executive session related to the hiring of a county auditor. Here highlights from the committee meeting agenda. The Budget and Finance Committee has three bills on their agenda. They are Bill 2606, amending the county code by adding a new section relating to homestead tax cap for home exemption and long-term affordable rental properties. And this was deferred from December 9th. Also, Bill 2607 for an ordinance, amending an ordinance relating to the capital budget of the county for the fiscal year July 1, 2015 through June 30, 2016, revising amounts estimated in the development fund. This is Kalola Poipu Intersection Improvements. That's Poipu Realty Partners, LLC, in the amount of $41,000. Public hearing was held on this on December 16th. And finally, Bill number 2608 for an ordinance, amending an ordinance relating to the capital budget of the county for the fiscal year July 1, 2015 through June 30, 2016, revising amounts estimated in the development fund. This is for Kaloa Poipu Intersection Improvements, Kihuna Fairways, LLC. This is an amount of $47,750. Public hearing was held on this on December 16th. The Committee of the Whole has on their agenda Bill 2604 for an ordinance to establish a new article in the Kauai County Code relating to the barking dog nuisance, and this was deferred from December 9th. To view meetings or meeting archives, please visit www.kauai.gov/webcastmeetings. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha, and have a wonderful 2016.